We're going to read this afternoon in the book of Ephesians, please. The book of Ephesians. I'm just going to read two or three verses from chapter 1, and then we're going to focus on chapter 2. So just going to read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Verse 18, "That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in the world that is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So I want to focus on these next 9 verses. So, ears open. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'm just going to read you one verse in chapter 3 and verse 8. And Paul's writing to the church. He says, "Unto me, who am the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this afternoon. When I was growing up, and that's a wee while ago, we went to meetings in Northern Ireland, and the preachers had a good heart, but maybe they weren't very wise sometimes. And what they would do is, when you were going out at the gospel meeting and shaking hands with the preacher, occasionally they would, I don't know if it's a Scottish word or not, but certainly a Northern Ireland word, they would buttonhole you. In other words, you were going out and they shook your hand and they'd say, "Well, young man, are you saved?" And you looked up at this scary man and you didn't know what to say, because the people over there were listening and the people here were listening, and you said, I don't think so, and you walked out. Now, I'm not going to do it, so relax. But I just wonder, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if I buttonholed you on the way out tonight, and I promise I won't, I wonder if I buttonholed you tonight and asked you what you really thought of the Bible messages that we teach in here. If you really thought about the messages that they would do today, what is it that this salvation is? What is it that to be forgiven? What is it to have peace with God? What is it to know your sins are forgiven, that you're right and righteous before a holy God? I just wonder, ladies and gentlemen, what your thoughts are towards this message. Now, I won't buttonhole you. That's the third time I've promised. I'm not going to promise again. But I just wonder, ladies and gentlemen, what your thoughts are towards the message. Now, what I want to do today is I want to elevate your thoughts of this message in your hearts this afternoon. Now, we read, and the title for my a message this afternoon is "The Exceeding Riches of God." This salvation that we preach is the richness of God. We read that this church had come into the good of sins forgiven. This church of people from here, there, and everywhere in Ephesians, rich, poor, and in between, wealthy, slaves, all these slave owners, all these people had been come into contact with Christ, and their lives were changed. And Paul's desire for this church is that they would come and understand what they have come into, what their blessings are in Christ. It says, he has made us accepted in the Beloved. That means that this Ephesian church was accepted before God. But that God is holy. But God is righteous. And Paul's writing this letter to them to say that they are accepted before God. They are accepted. Not only that, he writes to them that they have redemption through his blood. Their sins have been forgiven. They have been washed. They've been made new by the blood of Christ. This was the blessings, the richness that God gives. What's it say? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And I want to elevate your thoughts that this salvation, this need to be born again, this need to have our sins forgiven, this need to be prepared to meet God is not a bolt-on. It's the most important thing that you will ever have to deal with. Who will I marry? Will we have children? Will we live here? Will we live there? What job will I do? Those are important. Nobody disputing that. But this is the most important message that Paul presents. And he's talking, ladies and gentlemen, about the richness of God. The richness of God's grace. And he wants this church to understand the riches of the glory of the inheritance for those who trust in Christ. This is not just a wee bolt on that, oh well, I better believe the message that they preach in New Cunnock Bridge End Gospel Hall. I better believe this so it means that if I die, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to go to heaven. Well, if that's your desire, ladies and gentlemen, you're never going to be saved. And God is not going to be a half salvation. God basically says, I want you to turn from your sins. I want you to leave everything behind, and I want you to trust Christ. That is the cost of this salvation. That is the cost of these blessings. These people, and we're just talking this afternoon, you know, the amazing thing is that Paul would talk about this, and Paul was the biggest persecutor of Christians there ever was. Before Paul became a Christian, before he would write letters to the Ephesians and all these other churches, you know, Paul was a blasphemer. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Paul went to the high priest in Jerusalem and he says, give me letters that I can go and arrest men and women and drag them back here that you can persecute them. And on that way to Damascus, the Lord Jesus intervened. Paul says he saw a light that was brighter than the noonday sun, and he fell on his knees in the dirt, and he heard that cry. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the answer was, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And he says, from that day and from that hour, I have never ceased to present the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've warned men and women, without ceasing, of their need of salvation and the blessings that they have come into. I want to think, ladies and gentlemen, of the richness of what this salvation is. But before we do that, we just want to look at this church. This church that Paul writes to them, and he says, you are made alive, but you were dead in your sins. You were dead in your trespasses and in sins, but now you've been made alive. What has happened to these people, ladies and gentlemen, that they were dead in their sins? They were dead in their trespasses. And trespasses is a funny word. But trespasses means that they've broken laws. Whose law did they break? Did they break the chariot's speeding limit? And no. They broke God's laws. They trespassed against God. And Paul says, do you not remember that you were dead in your trespasses and in sins? Do you not remember Paul's writing to these Christians that in times past you walked according to the course of this world? Whatever was good, whatever you wanted, you did. Whoever you wanted to do it with, you did. There was no restriction, no restraint on you. It says, in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's who they were. And ladies and gentlemen, that's who we are. Unless we have repented of our sins, unless we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, unless we have our sins forgiven and have the life of God in us, we are like this church used to be, dead in trespasses and in sins. We're walking according to the course of this world. Turn on the telly or the news or wherever you get your information from. See what they're doing. Oh, I want to do that. And that's what they were doing. They were following the prince of the power of the air. They thought they were free, but he was bringing them into bondage. Satan always brings people into bondage. They were the children of disobedience. And you know, Paul says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. I'm not up here thinking I'm any better than you. We all had our conversation like this in times past. We were fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath. The children of wrath, even as others. So it's not a very nice picture, is it? It's not a very nice picture as you look into your heart and I look into mine. As we look in the mirror and we see what kind of a person we really are. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we know what kind of people we are. But the Bible simply confirms it. It says here, we were by nature the children of wrath. In other words, we were born to die. We were born to die and suffer punishment for sin. That's what it says. We were the children of wrath. Whose wrath? Whose wrath? We were the children of wrath, just like everyone else. What do we need? What is the answer when we realize that we are sinners? What is the answer that we realize before a holy God we are disobedient, we do our own thing, we go our own way? What is the answer for that? And the answer is this here. But God, who is rich in mercy. Mercy. What is mercy? So here we are. Here's us and all our sins. And it said, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. So what we need, ladies and gentlemen, is we need mercy. We need the mercy of God in our lives. What is mercy? Mercy is simply holding back. Holding back the judgment that is due to us. And what's it say? But God, who is rich in mercy. God's not just merciful yesterday. He was merciful the day before. God is rich in mercy. His abundant mercy. And he's holding back the judgment on this world. He's holding back the judgment on me, and he's holding back the judgment on you. But why would God have mercy? God would have mercy because he loves us. But not only does God in heaven love us, it says, for his great love. I want you to think of that. You maybe love someone, you maybe love something. But when we think of God in heaven, as he looked down on mankind and saw that they're all gone out of the way, he says, I will have mercy. I will hold back the judgment that is their due. I will hold back my righteous judgment from them because I love them. I want you to get that. He's rich in mercy. But I want us to think about his great love. His great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins. So this is not a people who have pulled themselves up by their socks, pulled themselves up by their bootlaces, turned over a new leaf and tried to do the right thing. No, no. God is merciful to those, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, we've been made alive. But how can God do that? You know, mercy is holding back the judgment. But mercy is never going to save you.
Mercy is holding back God's righteous judgment, but mercy is never going to save you. Mercy is never going to put you in a new path. Mercy is never going to transform your life. And love, yes, love, God's great love, can never save us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God, enrich in mercy and his great love, even when we were dead in our sins. What do we need? We need grace. What we need, ladies and gentlemen, is we need grace. The grace of God. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is giving. The grace of God is God in all his fullness, God in all his righteousness, God in all his mercy and all his love, he's going to give. And he's going to give generously. God is going to give richly, because God is rich in mercy, but he's rich in grace. What did we read in verse 7? That in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Yes, we have got the mercy of God. Yes, we have got the love of God. But here we are, ladies and gentlemen, and we need the grace of God. God in heaven has moved. God in heaven has sent his Son. God in heaven sent his Son to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the grace of God, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. See, that's what grace is. Grace is God's kindness. Grace is God's kindness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace is God's kindness through the Lord Jesus Christ that he gives us the gift of salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Well, we read earlier, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to what? According to the riches of his grace. Oh, let me elevate the love of God. Let me elevate the mercy of God. Let me elevate God's Son in your thinking this afternoon. It's not a bolt-on. It's a completely changed mindset. I'm going to leave everything and I'm going to trust Christ. And here's this Ephesian church. From every walk of life, they have bowed their knees before God. They have confessed that they are sinners of the guiltiest dye. They have confessed that if they live and die without Christ, they're going to hell in the lake of fire. And they believe that they deserve it because that's what God says. And they've cried out for mercy. And God says, I am rich in mercy. They've cried out for grace. And God says, I am rich in grace. And they've looked and saw Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And realized that the grace of God sent Jesus Christ to the cross to bleed and suffer and die for their sins, that they could live forever. And they came into the good of that. And now they have redemption. Their sins all washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And Paul would write in chapter 3 that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. So here we have a people and their lives have been transformed. They have passed from death to life. And maybe, ladies and gentlemen, you've never thought about this before. Maybe you've never realized that before a holy and an awesome God that you're dead in your trespasses, dead in your sins. It says, It says in verse 12, strangers from the covenants of promise, no hope, and without God in this world.
We need God's mercy. We need God's love. But we need the grace of God. God, who is rich in grace, has sent his Son. And Jesus Christ has died for my sin. He has suffered in my place. He has died that I might live. What does Paul write to the Ephesians? He says, you were dead, but now you're alive. You've got the life of God in you. It says in verse 6 again, just in case you didn't understand verse 1. Verse 1 says, you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. I just wonder, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a change in your life. I just wonder, ladies and gentlemen, if you're ready to jettison everything else and to reach out and trust Christ and have that everlasting life. Have that peace of God that passes all understanding. He talks about peace in there. He talks about joy. He talks about the inheritance of the saints, that we may know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. My friends, if you have trusted in Christ, what a blessed joy that is. What a blessed hope it is to know sins forgiven. What a blessed peace it is to go to bed at night. If you don't wake up, it doesn't matter. You're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Nothing else matters. And this is only a down payment, that when we die, we are going to come into the eternal inheritance of the riches of God in Christ Jesus. That is the hope of every believer. That's why we're not that bothered about what car we drive. That's why we're not tramping over other people to get promoted in business and be a shark in Wall Street. That's why we're content to know our sins are forgiven forever. And that's the glory of the gospel. Because God is merciful, God is gracious, and God is loving. And he's got a Savior, one Savior. And you only need to come once. You only need to bow once. You only need to confess once that you are a sinner before God. Cry out for mercy. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be transformed. You will be the possessor of everlasting life through the riches, the exceeding riches of the God of eternity, the God that cannot lie. Let's commend ourselves to God. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for the gospel. We give thanks for that Ephesian church. They were once afar off, but now in Christ they're made nigh, brought into God's family in time and forever. And we bless thee, Father, that thou art rich in mercy, that thou hast great love. We bless thee, Father, for the riches of thy grace. We bless thee, Father, for the unsearchable riches of Christ that we need to know in this life. We bless thee, Father, there is a Savior able to save and mighty to save and ready to save those that come to God through him. And we just pray, Father, that folks will be awakened by this message of mercy and love and grace, and turn from their sins, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have everlasting life.